This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Welcome to Province Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, November 24th. I'm Patrick Johnston, downtown, usual deal. It's a casual Tuesday, so Steve Ewan he's on the line today. Hi, Steve.
I'm being very casual.
What's the casual situation? Are you at home, in a sweatshirt?
I was out at Vancouver Giants practice.
Beautiful.
I had to get out there and see what was going on with that hockey club.
What is going on with that hockey club? They don't seem to be winning still.
They are in harm's way. They're not playing particularly well, and it is showing both in their record and their attendance.
Now they did score some goals there on Friday night. I was watching a bit of it on the TV here while I was at work, but didn't get the result in the end. Kind of fell apart in the third period.
Feels like they're a fragile, kind of panicky team right now. I don't know how you build off that. I think. They've got some work to do. They go to Spokane this afternoon and play there Wednesday, and then they have weekend games in Seattle and Portland, two tougher places to play. So things are not looking good for them right now. I they've traded out a lot of guys. I don't know what the next step is. I don't know if we're getting into changing coaches or changing general managers or, changing someone else there.
I mean, it's something we have, I think, talked about since, the birth of Casual Tuesdays, which is that in the end, there's been a bit of a, player recruitment problem, that the guys that they've gotten have not been, either good enough or just haven't meshed well enough. And in the end, there are, two or three guys who are in charge of that, and it doesn't seem to be working for them anymore.
Oh, I think it's a combination of things. I think last year's team was good enough to make the playoffs and didn't for various reasons. I mean, principal among them, coaching. I think on the flip side, I think they've kept the core together for a long period of time and you've up until recently. And I think you've had a group of guys that has learned to lose. And I think if you believe that you learn to win, I think you also learn to lose. I think that's one of their big problems right now is that they've picked up a lot of bad habits along the way. And it'll be a challenge to really kind of clear them of those kind of common errors.
It's a little bit like, I guess, what Willie Desjardins has been talking about with his own young players, that, consistency is a real thing that, you have to put out, at no matter what level you're at, you have to put out, 100%, for that level. And that, especially if you're, a guy kind of in the middle of the lineup who's fighting to make the next step and whatnot, that in the end, if you're making mistakes and you're making lazy decisions, that in the end, those do come home to roost.
Well, I think so. I think there's some very similar kind of aspects between the two clubs. I think they're having trouble kind of getting their core together, forget who's in their core and really, particularly with the Giants now, but kind of figuring out. So again, they changed coaches to start the year, brought in Lauren Mullican, who had won 600 games in this league. Figured out that they didn't like their core group and have since kind of ousted a bunch of those guys. So it feels like they're going through a training camp again. So they've had some injuries, which has also been a problem, but it's hard to get people excited about where the team is right now, which is leading to the crowds and the threes and, the threes of 4,000.
Yeah. Which is, shocking to see given how well they were, even doing a couple of years ago with, not a very good team as well. The other thing I find myself wondering about, and I go back to a conversation I had a few years ago with Don Hay about, modern athletes. And it's interesting, there was something we were kind of talking about was, one of our colleagues is involved in local minor hockey and sort of just talking about just the kind of challenges in many ways that you see in modern parenting and in the way sort of kids are kind of not maybe necessarily facing the same adversity as they did. And for some reasons, for good reason, I think. But on the whole, one of the things I remember Hay telling me was that, you know, that kid, you know, the players he was seeing at 14, 15, 16 that were, you know, guys that they were considering for junior were certainly, if not as talented, sometimes in many cases more talented than kids, you know, say 10, 15 years ago, but that the mental side of the game, that they hadn't ever really faced a situation where they weren't the best, or at least they weren't perceived as the best, and as a result, they were having a hard time sometimes dealing with the failure that comes with playing at an exceptionally elite level. And, you know, I mean, one of the things he pointed to, for instance, was that kids don't play as many sports as they used to. They used to, you know, you'd get kids playing other sports and they'd be, you know, the best at hockey, but they wouldn't be the best at, you know, soccer or tennis
or lacrosse
or rugby or football or whatever. You know, and that in the end, do you think that is really coming home to roost now, and that maybe that's the biggest challenge more than anything is finding a way to kind of break that nut?
Oh, I think so. I think kids are, I think this generation is, the Twitter, Facebook generation is completely entitled. And I think their parents feel entitled. I think it was Chad Scarf, who's a member of the 2006 team that went to the Mem Cup in Moncton and then later became assistant coach, later became trainer. Talked about how in 2006 guys were happy to be third line guys and kind of break in and, you know, kind of earn their ice time. And now you're seeing guys that are going, you know, outside the first round of the draft, maybe second, third, fourth round, wondering why they're not getting power play ice time as a 16-year-old. And even in that short period of time, I think it's changed. I think there's a certain expectation. I think hockey has become less and less of a blue-collar sport and more of a academy and winter club sport. I think just that's a different mindset. So, I think that one of the things you saw out of the players that really excelled under Don Hay, they were guys that came from very kind of blue-collar backgrounds. Brendan Gallagher, Milan Lucic. Lance Bulma's dad was a butcher. You could go up and down. Evander Kane was a North Shore Winter Club kid, but his dad was a part-time baker, part-time boxing trainer. So, I mean, kids that really came out of really ordinary backgrounds. So I think that was one thing that really kind of rang true with Hay's group.
In the end, it sounds like, I mean, it's a whole bunch of factors, and, you know, obviously this is a long-term challenge for the team, but in the end, it seems like maybe they're going to have to start looking in some new places for players, because the places they've been pulling players from in the last few years haven't really been panning out.
I think they've had trouble finding leaders, and I think that's, they need to maybe do a rethink of the way they... The backgrounds and you know, things like that. I think going back to, I guess 3 years ago, they traded for Dalton Thrower, automatically made him captain. Tyler Benson is the captain this year, the youngest captain the team's ever had. 17-year-olds aren't logically leaders. So I think that says something about the way they put their group together.
It is going to be interesting to watch. Hopefully, you know, obviously some wins come soon, because that's, you know, I've always enjoyed going out to.
It's a great building to be in when there's 8,000 people.
And yeah, you know, so we'll see. I mean, obviously, what, two seasons ago they were in the playoffs, and that was a big bump in building. Even if they, you know, didn't really have much of a hope against Portland, people still enjoyed themselves, and there really is nothing like that atmosphere. So.
No, and I think last year's group should have been in the playoffs. I mean, if you're looking at kind of where Scott Bonner's culpability is here, last year's group should have been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, they had enough talent to get in the playoffs, and just kind of the way that the coaching search played out, I really, you know, put them in a bad spot. So,
I would like to continue on with the young player vibe. We'll switch over to the Canucks, and something we promised from last week, which was let's lead off with the question. We're starting to think about World Juniors and that kind of thing, and the Canucks have a couple guys that are obviously strong candidates for that team. I have my own feeling that one maybe has a better chance than the other, but given everything. But Jared McCann and Jake Vertan, and obviously are guys that you would think would be key players on a World Junior entry. I think it definitely, for me, I think it would make a lot of sense for Vertanen to go there, because partly just because I think he has had a bit of a, you know, an up and down role. He's definitely been getting ice time, but he also at the same time hasn't been a healthy scratch, and they're bringing him along slowly and giving him sort of, you know, moments to succeed, but mostly just saying, listen, Jake, we don't want to put too much pressure on you. But I sit there, I say, listen, it's a long season. And if he got the chance to go play for the Canadian junior team for a month and play a key role, score some goals, have some fun, it'd be like a little, you know, fun interlude in the middle of his season, and then come back to the NHL and say, hey, I remember all these things I can do. To me, that more than anything would be a great choice. McCann, on the other hand, you know, obviously is playing an important role in the fourth line, you know, maybe even getting some third line minutes given, the situation with Brandon Sutter being out for at least another 2 weeks. And to me, McCann I think he's maybe further along in his NHL game, partly because they trust him enough to play center. So I think it'd be great to see him go, but I think he's much less likely to go. Would you sort of have similar feelings?
No, I think I would send them both. I'm a big believer in that term, and a big believer of putting, you know, having that pressure of gold or nothing else. I think would do wonders for both guys. And I think we need to be kind of grown up about where this team is, and you know, this is a team fighting to get in the playoffs. This is a team looking to grow for the future. I think both those guys have a chance to be top six forwards for this group somewhere down the future. I think here's a chance to get them into a top six kind of situation and kind of build off things. So I would send them both. You know, unless this team suddenly takes a huge jump and starts kind of, you know, making a run at a home ice spot. Outside of that, I would send them both.
It was interesting on Monday in the morning skate, I actually put a poll in where I asked people, are you feeling good? Given the sort of completely opposite results that we got on the weekend, you know, obviously the big exciting win over Chicago and the rather ho-hum loss to the Devils, even though they probably outplay the Devils and they probably didn't outplay the Blackhawks. I kind of said, how are you feeling about this team? You know, are you feeling good about things getting forward? They'll be all right. Or are you just cynical and you think you know better? And it was about 55% in favor of the positive sense, which I was a bit surprised by. To me, that I guess that's kind of what I see there. As I say, listen, these guys at least are fun and interesting to watch, and you know, the fact that they are in consideration for World Juniors is an interesting kind of side talking point in and of itself.
All right, I think that this is as interesting a time as we've seen in Vancouver since probably 2011. I think the fact that there is some new blood and you're starting to see a kind of a changing of the guard, because like we talked about, I think, next to Eddie Lack, our second favorite topic on Tuesdays has been the lack of that generation, that missing generation between the Twins and the Horvat, Vertan, and McCann group. So there's a lot of, if you're a Canuck fan, I think there's a lot of things to be kind of excited about. Ben Hutton as well, I think has shown a lot of positives. So I think as long as people understand that this team isn't making a run right now, I think everything is fine.
Which in the end was an interesting one, because I was kind of surprised. Do people really, I don't know if people really get that. At the same time, you look at the ticket market, it's very soft. There's still lots of tickets to be found out there. We see Forbes came out with their list today, and they are valuing the team at less than about 7% down from last year, mostly on the fact that, partly on the fact, I should say, that on the Canadian dollar declining, and then also on the fact that the market has gone soft. Is it really going to be that simple? I mean, you're a guy that's been, in this market for a long time, and I can think back to obviously, time 15 years ago when the sellout was a rarity and they had all kinds of promotions to get people in the building, and even then they couldn't fill it. Is it really just that? I mean, we've talked about it before.
Winning is the only marketing that matters.
Yeah. Is that simple?
I think it's really, especially in a market like this. I think where we tend to be kind of a big event market, we tend to be a Super Bowl, World Cup, you know, Stanley Cup Finals market, Olympics. I think they need to get on a streak, and I think even if you played kind of shut down 2-1 hockey, I think as long as they were winning, I think people would be interested.
You know, and I mean, I guess the other thing I wanted, well, there were two other things. I wanted to briefly mention Andre Pedat. I know you don't know a lot about him, but certainly an interesting looking guy coming up. I wrote a little bit about him yesterday as well.
Where can you find that?
Provincesports.com.
That's always, there's lots of interesting stuff at Provincesports.com, isn't there?
Always, always.
Always changing as well.
But yeah, I think he's an interesting guy. You had some interesting comments to me yesterday. You know, we think about the type of player he is. He's still clearly got some skills, but he's also got some snarl, and there's not a lot of snarl on this team.
Especially on the back end. I think they're really short on snarl on the back, and I think that's something that you're going to have to find a way to add. I mean, as much as people get mad at Lucas Pisa, as much as people didn't, you know, kind of ran Kevin Bieksa out of town, those are guys that you know, tried to make it hard on opponents in front of the Vancouver net. Badan seems to be that type of guy. So if as long as he handles the puck okay, I think he's got a chance of making some noise here.
Last one, Daniel Sedin, huge performance on the weekend, huge performance last week, 5 goals, got him second star of the week. Daniel Sedin is now 6th in the NHL in scoring. It's an amazing. Is it amazing? I don't know. Are the Sedins still amazing?
I think
just ho-hum.
I don't think we're going to really, truly appreciate what those two guys have done until they're gone. I think we've become complacent with the Twins. And they are special, special players. And I mean, it's really neat. Everything you hear, that they're amazing human beings as well. And I think I think on some level, the greater mass has taken them for granted. So somewhere down the road, they're going to retire, and we're going to be missing two focal point guys for this hockey club. And that's good. The next captain of the Vancouver Canucks is going to have a tough job.
You know what, Steve? I'm going to disagree with you here. The Sedins are never going to disappear. They're going to play forever.
They will play until they're 90.
You heard it here first.
There you go. I think I'm stealing from Jonathan McDonald, who I think said this. He said that the day they announce that they're done is the following day you put their names up in the Ring of Honor and retire the jerseys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they've been that special to this market, and I think they're just exemplary people from everything I've heard, and they've been great players here for a long, long time.
Yeah, they really have. Jeff Tedford, some rumblings he might not be back next year with the Lions. I would say middling mixed results this year.
Uh-huh.
To me, if he leaves, that's kind of an interesting dilemma, because all of a sudden Wally Bono has to go out looking again for a coach, and I have absolutely no idea what he would be looking for in that case.
Yeah, and Tedford really did seem to be a Wally guy. It seemed to be a Wally's, you know, Wally's fit. To me, I'm stealing from Ed Willis. Maybe as interesting as that is how do you bring back Travis Lillet in a spot that he wants to be involved in? He's obviously not going to be the starting quarterback, but he could be the coach after your next coach, going back to the whole Dave Dickinson kind of spot. So I think that's another interesting one, you know, there too, is not just who's going to coach next year, but who's going to be the coach 5 years from now, and can you find a way to keep Lule in the system and keep him happy? Because it seems like he still wants to play on some level. So
it's a tricky one. I mean, and it's a segue I'm going to come to in a moment, but it's, you know, a guy like...
It's a different animal, though. CFL football is different than the NHL, is different than the soccer here. There's a lot of, you know, with those smaller paychecks, there's a lot of things at play.
There's a lot of things at play, and there's enough kind of free talent around, if you know what I mean, that you know, there are so many guys playing collegiate football, you know, mostly in the U.S., but also in Canada, And there are so few real professional jobs in the world that, you know, that it is kind of, it is a buyer's market, and that,
And you can find guys from schools you've never heard of.
Well, that's right? You know, and in the end, and so, but, you know, a guy like Lule, who's, you know, spent, you know, whatever it is, almost 10 years in Canada now, and has spent 10 years in Vancouver, and, you know, has kept showing up, kept trying, kept wanting to make it work because this is what he loves to do. And, you know, it's, I remember it's, you know, something that Kenny Miller, when he left the Whitecaps, said, you know, listen, you know, the enough players have told him, you know, once you start thinking about retiring, play as long as you can, because you will never, ever, ever get it back, and you will miss it so much. And so you can understand why a guy like Lule, especially because he's had all these injury battles, he wants to believe that he still has, you know, a season, two seasons, three seasons. You know, he'll look at some of the veteran quarterbacks who've come before and have had success, and he'll want to believe that he can do it. Right, Damon Allen. You go back to Damon Allen. Yeah. You can think about Dave Dickinson. You can think about Calvillo. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's hard.
The one that was interesting for me was John Beck, because obviously he's hanging around with Tom House and you know, doing those quarterback clinics and probably making crazy money, and still wanted to come up here and try, when he probably way less stressed, being a quarterback coaching guru. So that tells you that some guys just have that love and are willing to go kind of far and wide. Austin Collie is probably done okay financially over the years, but still wanted to play and still, you know, wanted to come up to Canada to do it. So there are guys out there looking for those type of situations.
You know, and it kind of goes against that thing when people say, "Oh, they're not trying hard." You know, these guys are trying hard. That's the thing with almost all these guys all the time, is that they're playing to win, and that the pride is a thing, and that you want to go out there and do your best. And that's the thing that.
I mean, there's Austin Collie probably could have done 1,000 different things, but wanted to come up here and try and just keep the football game alive, right? So.
Good.
They're interesting animals, CFL players.
It gives us a good segue into the last topic, Grey Cup. Henry Burris, Smiling Hank. Speaking of guys.
Another guy that could have easily walked away.
Totally.
Lots of times.
Yeah,
right?
You know, I mean, the Grey Cup, as far as I can see, is very much the story of the quarterbacks. It's two teams that can score points, and up against Mike Riley from Edmonton, and who's, you know, the younger guy. And it's good. I mean, I was able to catch the end of the Rough Riders Ticats game there on Sunday, and was just a thrilling finish, and you know, everything that, you know, Canadian football can be. And so here's hoping that Grey Cup will live up to that standard.
Yeah, I think it's always kind of a must see game if you're even kind of a pedestrian sports fan. So I'm excited to see. I mean, Bruce has had such a great season. The Red Blacks are such a good story. It's hard to not kind of get excited about them and kind of be rooting for them. So,
do you have a pick? Is that your pick? Is that what you've just said?
That's where my heart is. I think that Calgary team was a pretty good team that Edmonton dismantled. So Mike Riley is very good as well, and. You know, kind of back from his injury trouble, so they're going to be tough to beat. But Henry Burris kind of winning would be where my heart is at.
I'm just so glad that, you know, the CFL was able to get a team in Ottawa back that had an R on its helmet. That's all I really wanted.
That's really all that mattered. they needed an R on the helmet.
All right.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know if I'm a fan of the name Red Blacks, but it's hard to find, outside of some of these goofy minor league baseball names, it's hard to come up with anything.
It's a silly name. It's a silly name, but I kind of understood why they went in that direction, because at least they could sort of pretend to be something close to Rough Riders without having Rough Riders again. So.
Yeah, and they could sell the other thing, but I don't. Names are. Names are difficult.
All right, Steve, who are you bringing to your Sunday barbecue?
Ooh, that's really. You know who I'm bringing? Did I bring Tyler Breeze last year?
No.
Last week?
I don't.
Tyler Breeze is a wrestler from Penticton. He's in the WWE. He's starting to get a bit of main event type push. So I'm going to bring him. Another guy that's kind of toiled on the minor league circuit and worked his way up and has been a bunch of different characters. I think his real name is Matt Clement, maybe. But I think he's done a bunch of different things. So I'm going to bring him and give me somebody to do wrestling trivia with.
Love it. I'm going to invite Marshawn Lynch because as rumor has it, may not be available for the rest of the season to play. So, okay. You know, I figure the guy maybe
we can barbecue some Skittles.
Exactly. You know, he'll make a nice Skittles dish. And, I figure the guy will just be happy to hang
out. Skittle salad.
Happy to hang out. And probably kind of wants to get his mind off football for a little while because all that anybody ever wants to do is talk to him about football. And he doesn't really like doing that. So, he's a fan of, you know, video games. So we can have him set up a little video game station and see how that goes. So there you go.
Maybe we can get the 2016 wrestling game going, and your guy can have a video wrestling match against my guy.
There you go.
It was a very Lynch, Gronkowski, and somebody else was on Conan O'Brien and did a kind of a video game thing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Find that. That's very good.
Now, before we go, I do have a question. Do you think Howie's Lions are going to beat the Eagles on Thursday? Because I know Howie, you know, as we know, people don't know Howie Samora is a huge Detroit Lions fan.
He is the Detroit Lions fan. Mm-hmm. And Jason Botchford is the Eagles fan.
Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Yeah. So sorry. Will Botchford's Eagles beat Howie's Lions?
Howie, it's been a tough year for Howie, as it often seems to be for Lions fans.
Yes.
But yeah, basically the question is who's going to be happier?
I say Samura's Detroit beats Botchford's Philly.
That's a big call.
By 10.
There you go. I'm sure Botch will call up and complain. So.
Okay.
All right. Steve.
All right.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.
Folks, as always, provinceportsradio.com. Or sorry, what am I saying? provinceports.com/radio. I always get that wrong. You can find us on iTunes. Please rate and review us. It helps us bump up the list and that kind of thing. And if you are wanting to find us elsewhere, we're on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher. Steve's on Twitter @Steve Ewan. I'm @Rising Action. We'll see you again next week.